Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the China Startup Pulse. I'm Ryan Shukin, and today we have the last episode of our three-part series for the China Accelerator 8x8 series. This episode is all about finding the unicorn. We talk with investors who know and have found them before, who know the formula, who can break it down for you. One of them is Peter Davidson. Peter Davidson was the first non-friends and family investor at PayPal. He has seen the unicorn rise. He has been an investor. He has started accelerators. He has been in the VC world. He knows what it looks like, and he brings an insight and a way of looking at the ecosystem in which unicorns live in that you'll never hear anywhere else. It's absolutely riveting. It's amazing information. Then right after that, we have David Chen, the co-founder of AngelVest, which is one of the largest angel groups focusing on early stage investment in China. David Chen's experience looking at thousands and thousands of pitches, ideas, working with entrepreneurs, and investing in things that really work for China is invaluable as he teaches us how to raise money and how to move past that, what to do with the money and how to keep it coming, how not to die. These are all incredible learnings from the investor-facing aspect. This is good information if you are looking to learn from the entrepreneur perspective of what investors are wanting or what other successful investors in the space and what they're looking at from an investor's point of view. I'm really excited about this episode as it's the last part of our three-part series, and I really hoped everybody enjoyed it. So without any further ado, let's get into it.
Hey, everybody. Peter Davidson. A friend and I were the first non-family and friends investor in PayPal. Our company since then did a backdoor investment in a company that may or may not be Pinterest. One of our founders of that company is Kevin Hartz. He is the founder of Eventbrite, who's also seed funded Airbnb, Pinterest, Zoom, PayPal, and Palantir. My friends have gone on to do really great things. I set up an incubator in Australia, which probably the largest incubator in Southern Hemisphere, competing against Africa and South America. This is a reality check for you guys, okay? I want you to know, as a startup, you are a lottery ticket for the investors. They need you to be very, very successful in order to pay for all their failures. So they make you look, sound, and strive for really big. Peter Thiel in his book said, you are not a lottery ticket. Y Combinator, almost 1,000 companies, 70% of their entire portfolio is in two companies, Airbnb and Dropbox. So if they had not chosen any other companies except for those two, they would be doing really, really well. This is the world you live in. You are a lottery ticket for your investor, and you are playing lottery with your future. So, how do we become one of those unicorns, those large success stories? I wanted to have a look at this, see if there was some way. And many people before me have done this academically and so on. Peter Thiel in his book tries to get at this. So this is what I did during my Chinese New Year vacation. I sat down and I analyzed every single unicorn in the world in the last 5 years, looking for valuation, how much was invested. I looked at the backgrounds of the founders, including educational background, corporate background, the genesis of the idea, if there was anything special in their childhood or leading up to the formation of the company. And I found some patterns. Yeah, I found a few, and here's one or two that most people know about, but I want to stress. If you want to be a unicorn, you are probably going to have to find a co-founder who studied at one of the top universities in the world. And most unicorns have at least one overseas-born co-founder. So you may want to look for an overseas-born co-founder if these are the lessons you want to take out. But the problem is that these lessons, while they're true, they're not causative. they're not explanatory. In fact, when I looked inside the data and I looked at the genesis of the idea, here's the problem. So many of these unicorns, when they start out, the foreseeability of their success, it's just not linked to their embedding within the space. Now, that sounds very, very confused. I will explain this. They were genuinely unicorns, right? They were magic creatures. I am looking for a way that you as entrepreneurs and others as investors can pick companies without rewarding them for stupidity. And what I mean by stupidity is not knowing your space, by going into something blind. Now, I'm being harsh here. I'll give you an example. This guy is a great entrepreneur. He's the founder of Thumbtack. It's a $1 billion company right now. He made a very honest quote about his success. Now, I think in our case, actually, a lot of our success is not actually knowing any better. And here's some things that people believed at the time we didn't know any better, and it turned out the timing had changed. So it was a fluke. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, man. So you want to play that game? You want to play that game? Where you're going in blind and like somehow magic unicorns are going to happen to you and you're going to be lucky like this guy? I mean, hats off to him for being honest and hats off to him for being great. Have a look at this quote. I like this quote. He's another unicorn. Okta. If you are going to be an entrepreneur, you have to make some bets that are not obvious. If everything lines up and it seems obvious when you start, then you're probably not betting on the right things. Now, I like that quote. Because I'm not talking about predictability and foreseeability. I'm talking about going into a startup with your eyes open, understanding the space, not being ignorant and getting lucky. Taking a calculated bet because you deeply understand what's going on in this market space. Okay? I like this quote. And I like this guy. I'd invest in this guy. Okay? So this is going to be controversial. And you'll notice, but just, you know, one of my companies is up there in the magical unicorn column. Airbnb, now some of these, you know, you may debate, but I think these are magical unicorns. They walked in with their eyes closed. Silicon Valley and startup events and everybody else glorify these guys. These guys are pretty boring, man. Datto, you know what they do? Cloud-based backup services with a on-site appliance. Boring, right? It's worth $1 billion. Some of the, you know, these are the ones we glorify, but these guys knew their stuff. I call these non-magical unicorns gazelles, okay? Because they're real and they're fast and they're strong. In fact, they're the fastest animals on earth. What the founders who I consider gazelles started with or quickly developed before they took massive risks, an intimate knowledge of a large group of users. And they developed strong connection to those users. They didn't just talk about it or read about it. They went out and they found them. And I'll talk about how they do that. But when you talk to them, when I talk to them, I can see that it's like a PhD in like user base. And I'm talking to them and I say, why don't you try this? Well, actually, because, you know, this market segment probably would find that there's a market tension here that they wouldn't like to explore because their bosses wouldn't appreciate the way that they would. You know, they speak with a depth of understanding about their space. I like those guys. Why? Because they go in with their eyes open. Now, I thought about how we could translate this kind of philosophy into a way that you could build a startup. Now, there's kind of this tension right now between lean startup and big vision stuff going on in Silicon Valley and so on. So first of all, resist forming ideas. Stop that. Go into your user base, understand them deeply. Then go and talk to an experienced entrepreneur or successful entrepreneur and speak to them about your user base and see what ideas they come up with and see if they match yours. That's probably a pretty good indication. It's a rough test, but it's a pretty good indication. How do you do this? Work for a company with services, offering services in your user base, understand them deeply. A lot of those companies on the left-hand side had deep experience with those user base through their company, Salesforce, in the case of Okta, for example. Or they find a forum. One of the companies from my country, 99designs, they set up a forum and they tried a few things with their thousands, millions of users, and they had a design platform. And now they're your unicorn. So that's it. I just wanted to introduce you to that way of thinking because I don't believe in magic. I don't believe. You don't have to play the magic game. You can open your eyes and learn. Ideas pop out. Like the PayPal idea, I'm not saying that that's a guarantee. You're still taking a bet, but at least you're taking a bet with your eyes open. That's all I'm saying. Thank you, guys. Thank you, and good luck, guys.
Hey, everyone. We are almost done. We have one more speaker as part of our 8x8 investment-focused speaker series. This is the last one out of three. Next up is David Chen, founder of AngelVest. Incredible information here. Tells us what we need to do to get funded, what it takes to get funded in Asia, and then what happens after you get funded. How do you keep the funding going? How do you keep your company? How do you keep the relationships going? How do you keep the integrity? What do you focus on in terms of people and credibility? Really, really great talk. It's the last part of our talk for this 8x8 speaker series. Thank you guys so much for staying on. Let's get into it.
So thanks for having me. So we founded AngelVest about 10 years ago. I've been in China for about 10 years. So we're all, for the most part, American and European expats that kind of ended up in China. I never expected to be here for 10 years, but here I am. Okay, so 10 years ago, we were kind of bored. It's like we have our corporate jobs, we have our investment banking jobs, et cetera, and we want to make an impact. We want to take the American Silicon Valley model and do angel investing in China. 10 years ago, when there were no angel investors, I did a survey that we wanted to join an angel investment club, and there were none. I couldn't find one. So a bunch of us got together and we said, well, we have some money, from our day jobs in banking and corporate, and we'll fund these early stage companies. So it was a couple of us in the room, and now we've grown to a profile of over 90 members in Shanghai, Beijing, Hong Kong, and Singapore. We've seen literally thousands of business plans. We've only funded 40 companies, so the ratio is actually pretty small, okay? So Todd asked me tonight to talk about what it takes to get funded, number one, and then William asked me to talk about corporate governance in terms of what happens after you get funded. So the key about angel investors is not so much about the cash, because the cash is a commodity. You can go to the bank, you can borrow money, you can ask your dad, you can ask your mom, ask your best friend, maybe they'll give you money, right? But the question is, what value does that money give you? Not all cash from all sources is equal. My recommendation is get money from people that are going to help your business, because as we've heard throughout the night tonight, starting a business could be easy. Everybody's got an idea, right? But ideas, honestly, are a dime a dozen. There are a ton of ideas out there, but which ones will make it to the unicorns or even the gazelles, right? Which ones will make it, And if you kid yourself, people have confidence and that's great. You need to have that confidence and passion. But the question is who can really make it to the finish line? Not for yourself, but also for your stakeholders, and stakeholders meaning your investors. So people ask me all the time, well, what does it take to get funded? So here's the funding point before you get funded. And I listed, a couple things that I thought were pretty important from what I've seen in the thousands of business plans that I've seen and the hundreds of teams that I've met probably. It's all about the people. Early stage, everybody's got an idea, right? And it's about you. What do you have? What did you do that's gonna make an impact on what you wanna do, right? So let's say you're a banker, right? A lot of bankers that I know. And tomorrow you wanna do the social network app. Well, what do you have that gives me any indication that you can succeed doing that thing? If you don't, well, then you're just a copycat. You have no capabilities. Why are you fundable? But also, more importantly, what is your character? All right? If I give you money today, if I invest money into you, if I give you $250,000, does that mean you kind of like buy a new Ferrari or do you go on a vacation, right? Well, the answer better be not. right? Or more, you know, more dangerously, do you kind of run away with the money? Are you gone tomorrow, right? The answer is we hope not. So it's all about you. You know, what is your character? Are you trustworthy? Are you going to make good with the money that people have invested into you? And then the rest are more like, well, your product, your technology, the market size potential, the scalability. Can you become really large? Are you going to be mom and pop, or are you going to become a Starbucks? You know, become branded. And the last one, I think, which I think is very important, is defensibility, because there's so many ideas out there. China moves very quickly. You have an idea today. In 2 months later, you'll be copied. You'll have 100 competitors out there, right? So the question is, how can you be defensible? What do you have today that makes you different? And if you go back to the first point, it's about you. What makes you different? What makes you special that nobody can copy? People can't copy you, right? And once you get that together and you have your thoughts and you can articulate a story, I like Suk Suk's, you know, presentation about telling a story, because it's about telling a story. How do you tell investors your story and demonstrate that you've got character, you've got, you know, credibility, you've got capability, then you got a shot, right? Most of the plans that we see, honestly, kind of miss that point. Most of them. And that's why they don't get funded. They walk away with no money, okay? Because we don't give free money, you know. And then the question is, you know, once you get funded, if you're lucky enough to get funded by business angels, whether it's here or around the world, what happens, you know? You are responsible. I will hold you responsible, because there's something called the post-funding cycle. Once somebody can invest $100,000, $500,000, $1 million, okay, you are responsible to your investors. They become your shareholders. You know, maybe they'll take a board seat, maybe they'll take an active role. And it's about you doing good with that, working really, really hard, execution 24/7. How do you build a team? How do you scale your business? And then how do you maintain investor relations? How do you talk to your investors? How do you give your investors monthly updates, quarterly updates? Asking them for help. You know, investors are here to help. Transparency and governance, right? So I'll give you an anecdote. I mean, you know, we run a sidecar fund, and in that fund, we've got probably 20 investments, and I'm on the board on a couple of them. But, you know, last year, there was a company that we put money in, and there was a bunch of shenanigans. You know, the CEO said, okay, we can't open the books. We can't show you the bank account. We can't show you the spending. And that was full of BS, basically, right? So we had to kind of go in and execute governance. We had to kind of remove the CEO. That was not a very nice thing to do, not a very pleasant experience, I have to say, but it had to be done, because it's all about accountability. So if you take people's money, you should be accountable. It's about, again, maintaining your character. How can you demonstrate that you got credibility amongst the eyes of your investors to show them that you're going to do good, right? And if you can do that, then this cycle continues, this pre-funding, post-funding. You do seed, you do angel, you do Series A, Series B, pre-IPO, IPO. So this is pre-IPO, this is IPO. You got to go this again and again and again, right? And if you don't have the mindset to do that, then you'll miss a beat. You'll miss your Series A, your Series B. And then what happens? You run out of cash, you die, right? So that's what happens to most companies. So I think that it's important to think about, again, you know, what is it that you want to do, who you are, and try to make good on yourself. Be good to yourself and your reputation, and things will kind of take care of themselves.
Hey everyone, Ryan here again, and that was a great talk by David Chen. So this concludes the 3-part series of the China Accelerator 8x8 Talks. I really hope you enjoyed it as much as we did and found as much value and insight as we would have from maybe one of our other formats when we talk with entrepreneurs and learn lessons. This is a format that I hope grows over time, because I want to be able to give as much information and help to everybody in the space as possible. I just want to thank everybody again for listening. Thank David, thank Vivian, thank everybody who helps make this podcast possible. And we'll see you guys next week. Hey everyone, I want to take a quick moment to thank our sponsors. China Accelerator is the number one internet accelerator in Asia. It's part of the SOSV Accelerator family, which is 9 accelerators all over the world in 4 verticals: hardware, food, biotech, and internet. It is a 3-month intensive program that's mentorship driven, focused on demo day, getting your product and your market and your fit just right. China Accelerator does cross-border innovation, bringing ideas from all over the world into China and Chinese ideas out into the world. You can find out more and apply online at chinaaccelerator.com. Entrepreneurs wanted. People Squared is the original co-working space in China. It's your home for startups, no matter what you're working on. Small team or large, it has all the resources, the environment, the culture, everything that you need to take your idea and make it successful. Founded by Bob Jung, an entrepreneur himself who really understands what startups need, it's a great place to bring your team and find success. You can find out more at people-squared.com. Our syndication partner is techno.cn, the number one resource for information about startups in the investment environment in China. They focus on getting the word globally about what's happening and growing in China in terms of trends and startup evolutions. You can find out more at technode.cn.